This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Wednesday, July 23rd, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, a report on the aftermath of heavy storms in the Quad Cities and how officials there are happy with the pace of cleanup efforts. We'll also get a look at the AM 580 forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. Supporters of Illinois State Parks say a $14 million budget cut this year is too much to ask from a department that's already seen its share of cuts. AM 580's Tom Rogers has more.
The Illinois Environmental Council is asking Governor Al Blagojevich to rethink the cuts he made to the Department of Natural Resources. They say it could lead to layoffs for more than 10% of the DNR's payroll. Eric Portner is a labor representative for the Illinois Conservation Police, which he says would be reduced to just over 100 officers to oversee nearly a half million acres of land.
It's a difficult job as it is now with the numbers that we've got. It's going to be a virtually impossible job if we continue to lose more officers.
Republican State Representative Bill Black says cutting the meat from the budget is extended to everyday activities.
There are people not happy that they can't make a campground reservation. There are people who want more mowing done. There are people who want more maintenance done. Well, you can't do it on the kind of budget cuts that has taken place in IDNR.
Black and Democratic Senator Mike Frerichs want to try to restore the money in the November veto session. They're calling on Blagojevich to temporarily withhold the cuts until then. Frerichs says the governor's done so in the past with other departments, but he's gotten no indication it would happen this time. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
A DNR spokesman has not returned calls seeking comment, but he's quoted as saying they've not made decisions on where cuts would be made. Governor Blagojevich cut funding in response to what he calls a $2 billion shortfall in the state budget. While Illinois legislators were taking action against the state's pay-to-play reputation, Governor Al Blagojevich was collecting donations from people who stood to gain financially from his administration. During the first half of the year, the governor accepted tens of thousands of dollars from people and businesses who had contracts worth at least $50,000 with state agencies. The practice would be banned by legislation awaiting either his signature or veto. In a review of new campaign finance records, the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform found that $238,000 of the Democratic governor's donations would be barred under the legislation on his desk. His aides wouldn't answer questions about the legislation beyond saying that it doesn't go far enough. A Fairbury firefighter was killed and another injured while they battled a fire that heavily damaged a house in the Livingston County community of Forest. The identity of the dead firefighter was not released early this morning. However, Fairbury Fire Chief Leroy McPherson said the second firefighter suffered relatively minor injuries while battling the flames. McPherson says the most seriously injured firefighter died at OSF St. James John W. Albrecht Medical Center in Pontiac. The fire was reported by the home's residents who fled the house with their three children. Forest firefighters were joined by firefighters from Fairbury, Chatsworth, Pontiac, Gibson City, Cullum, and Strawn fire departments. Summers said it took about 2 hours to get the fire under control. The Champaign City Council is ready to impose some exacting standards for developers at the Curtis Road interchange, and council members believe the land is valuable enough for developers to go along. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Council members think development along the Curtis Road I-57 interchange could rival what's been done on North Prospect. Last night, the Champaign City Council endorsed guidelines for crafting ordinance language to flesh out the master plan they passed last fall for developing the area. The language would cover everything from the minimal size of developments to environmental sustainability and design guidelines covering everything from signs to windows. Councilman Tom Bruno says he thinks the land around the Curtis Road interchange will be so desirable to developers that they'll put up with the detailed requirements. He says they could have used those requirements on North Prospect.
I've heard a lot of mocking over North Prospect over the last 10 years of how it has developed. And oh, what a horrible place it is, and it's ugly, and it's this, and it's that. And the trade-off is, well, you know, we have to live with some regulation if we want to have the Curtis Road interchange be a place people can be proud of.
And Bruno says if the requirements keep developers away, the city can always relax them later on. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Champaign officials are set to begin negotiations to buy land from the Urban League. In a study session last night, the city council directed staff to get the land appraised and start the negotiating process. The land is in the Beardsley Park neighborhood at the corner of Bradley and Neal Streets. The city has been trying to attract more development to the neighborhood, but some proposals have been delayed because they involve land at risk of flooding from nearby Boneyard Creek. The city would like to see some sort of residential development at the Urban League site. Community development specialist Greg Skaggs says neighborhood residents have suggested senior housing.
The city has interest in keeping that neighborhood up and keeping improvements going. So they're behind the development. And they just want to have, you know, the input on what does go in there and have their voice heard as well.
City officials expect to purchase the site with the money set aside for Beardsley Park redevelopment. Skaggs says negotiations should be done in 3 weeks. With about 70 students currently taking classes, a University of Illinois administrator says marketing of its online campus initiative is paying off following a slow start. If 3 new graduate programs are approved by U of I trustees tomorrow, Global Campus will have 19 total programs by this time next year. The program opened in January with just 10 students, but has drawn more over the summer and now has more than 300 applicants for the fall semester. Chet Gardner, a special assistant to University President Joseph White, says advertising with media and trade organizations has been ramped up, but it's clear more promotion needs to be done online.
It's interesting that about half of the inquiries that we've seen so far have been people that have essentially found the Global Campus website by searching on their own. They haven't been drawn to the website because of any particular marketing activity. And so that suggests to us that marketing through the web has got to be a major focus.
Gardner says the U of I has also gotten more than 2,000 inquiries for fall enrollment in Global Campus. Current degree programs, including those starting this fall, are in nursing and a master's in education or e-learning. At the U of I trustees meeting in Chicago tomorrow, they'll be asked to approve graduate certificates starting in 2009 in information technology, business, and mental health. Global Campus currently relies on a loan from the U of I and a series of grants, but Gardner says the goal for it is it to become self-sustaining by the year 2011. For the latest newscast online, go to wyol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Monday's severe storms have caused huge problems for the Quad Cities, but many local officials are happy with the pace of the cleanup and efforts to restore power and government services. Herb Trix has more.
Rock Island County Board Chair Jim Bontak says the storms, with their wind, rain, and lightning, were the worst he can remember.
I've not ever seen anything this big. The people that came through our emergency system, and we've said that same thing, and nobody can remember any kind of a storm like this that's put so many people out and such an effort to get it back in. The way I put it in perspective is an ice storm, really the ice just comes there and hangs and pulls it down, or this storm has just thrown through there so and tipped their transmissions, which is their main feeding lines, completely out, things that Mid-America has not had to deal with. They're flying linemen in from Oregon and Colorado that are experts on getting these big lines back together.
At a news conference for local government and emergency officials, Bontak also said he's very pleased with the response by Mid-American Energy. Right after the storms, Monday morning, more than 100,000 local customers did not have electricity. But one day later, that number has been cut in half. And currently, the company expects to restore power to the Iowa Quad Cities by Wednesday night and to the Illinois Quad Cities by Thursday night.
It started in Sioux City and worked this way. And as they take care of the Sioux Cities, all of those people start coming in here. So, you know, probably tomorrow there'll be an army of people in here fixing every area they possibly can.
One area hard hit by the storms was Milan. Mayor Dwayne Dawson says Highway 67 was closed for a time because of debris and downed power lines, but it's since reopened. And he's very happy that the village's water system is back in operation.
We got a huge generator that's powering our well number 4, so everybody in Milan should have water. The boil order is still in effect until further notice. We've tried to keep sewage out of the sewage backups down from basements, so that's been a critical thing too. Water, and you don't want people to be out of commission from sewer in their basement, so we've tried to emphasize those kinds of things.
Also thinking about water is Jim Bontak, but for a different reason.
You know, one of the biggest things in the outlying area is, how do you water your livestock now? I mean, they're all wells and no power, and most farmers today are modern enough that it's just a little water that continually comes out of there, and there's no holding. So we've had some calls from what do you do about that? You know, how do you get this water to the livestock? So that's a critical area we're really working on.
And also worried about water and food is the Rock Island County Health Department. Spokeswoman Teresa Foe says if you've lost power, it's better to be safe than sorry.
If there's any doubt, you should throw your food out. And really, by this time, if someone has had food in the refrigerator or freezer with this many hours without power, it would not be good anymore. It's possible that some deep chest freezers, if they haven't been opened, maybe some of that food would be salvageable, but it's better not to really take a chance on that. And as far as water, if people with wells, once they do get power back, they would need to flush the systems or chlorinate the systems because it's possible that water would not be good. It could be contaminated.
She says the health department has also devoted some of its time to checking local nursing homes in the wake of the storms and widespread power outages.
We've been contacting them to see what their needs are, if they have power, or, you know, if they have food or water issues, you know, the temperature of the residents. In some cases, some residents have been relocated to other facilities, or they've gone home maybe with relatives. And in other cases, we found generators to support the activities. Health department staff have gone in to check on their food and see if it's still safe or if it needs to be disposed of.
The Red Cross is operating two emergency shelters for storm victims. Leslie Anthony says six people spent the night Monday night at the shelter at the Sherrard Fire Station, and about 70 used it for food and to get a shower. The Milan Community Center is also available as a cooling center for anyone who needs a place to escape the high heat and humidity. And while he deals with storm damage, Jim Bonsack is also thinking ahead. The chair of the Rock Island County Board declared a state of emergency on Monday, and that means local governments may be reimbursed by state and federal governments for up to 90% of their storm-related costs.
So we're asking everybody, especially public, to make sure you take care of all your hours and document things that you're doing so that if we do end up getting some public assistance, we can get reimbursed for that.
He estimates damage for the county will be at least $1 million. I'm Herb Trix.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, sunny skies today with a high around 82 degrees, quite pleasant. Mostly clear skies tonight, the low around 58. Mostly sunny tomorrow, the high around 82. Showers and thunderstorms are likely tomorrow night with lows around 65. Mostly cloudy Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high around 82. Partly cloudy Friday night through Monday with lows around 68 degrees, the high around 85. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Wednesday, July 23rd, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.